Hi, it's Tony. On today's show, we'll talk to Bob Ryan about sports and geography. We'll also talk to John Orand of Puck News about the business of stadium naming rights. But first, let's keep the sales weasels happy.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You should keep doing it because I can hear it in your voice. Even though you're angsty, you really still like doing this. And you like sort of yelling at the moon. You've got a little bit of Clint Eastwood and Gran Torino in you, but mostly you've still got an insane desire to try to come up with a solution to court storming. I mean, that's what's fun about you, and that's why you should keep doing it.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
Alrighty then. People like to go behind the curtain at PTI, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the last 2 days of PTI. So Pablo's on the show Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And Pablo's doing his podcast on Wednesday. And Pablo's in some location other than the Seaport studio.
Pablo Torre Finds Out, I believe is the name of
Pablo
the show.
Pablo Torre Finds Out. Or maybe Pablo Torre Asks About. Or maybe Pablo Torre's smarter than you. Or maybe how do you like this degree from John Harvin? So he's got to get in a cab and he's got to go to the Seaport. And traffic in New York City is not like traffic, you know, in other places, smaller places. It's not like that.
No.
So Pablo is telling Kelleher and Ride Home, I'll be there by 4:30. Well, he's not there by 4:30. Well, I'll be there by 4:45. Well, he's not there by 4:45. So we're supposed to talk to Jay Billis. We're supposed to do an interview with Jay Billis. Usually that starts about 4:30 or 4:35. By 4:45, it hasn't started, and Pablo's not there. And they say to me, okay, do the interview. You just do it by yourself. Now, I can do that. Not only do I know Jay, but I've been doing this for a long time. This is not hard. All I have to have is the questions in front of me that are not written by me,
right,
but are in fact written by Eric. You know, and they're always good. And so they in the intro, it just says something like, you know, Pablo wanted to take this segment off and you know, and then we get in to Jay Billis. Well, Pablo got there and did the rest of the show and then decided that he would say at the end of the first segment, why don't you talk to Billis alone? I have to go to the bathroom, which I thought was funny. But that was, if you wondered why that happened, this is behind the curtain as to why that happened. And you've heard me say many times, particularly in recent months and weeks, that sometimes the show gets blown up. You know, you get ready to do the show, and sometimes at 3:30 or 4 or 4:30 or 5, something happens, and you have to change the show. Yesterday, for example, the lead story in the PTI show was supposed to be about LeBron James scoring 39 points and getting 5 threes in the fourth quarter to lead the Lakers on a 21-point comeback in the fourth quarter and beat the sorry Clippers, who had 7 turnovers, by the way, in the fourth quarter and stunk the gym out. And that was supposed to be it. And I was prepared, and Pablo was prepared, to talk about LeBron James. Our guest yesterday was Brian Windhorst. And Brian, and not everybody does know this, although I said it on the air, Brian actually went to the same high school that LeBron went to in Akron, Ohio. Brian is from that area. He graduated a few years before LeBron. But he's covered LeBron in LeBron's entire basketball life before he even went to the NBA, while he was in high school, while he was doing state championships. So when you ask a question of Brian Windhorst that basically ends this way, well, you know, what did you think of last night? He didn't do 20 minutes. And they were a great 20 minutes. He did like 3 minutes, and they were a great 3 minutes. So then after the interview with Windhorst, Kelleher says to me, I didn't want to tell you this before. I didn't want you to, you know, get all flustered by it, but we're going to have to change the top of the show. I said, why? So, well, Caitlin Clark just announced she's going to turn pro. Well, this is a big story.
Yes.
Caitlin Clark is the most important college basketball player in the country right now. Most popular, most important. More eyeballs on her than anybody else.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. And she didn't have to turn pro. She's making a pile of money on NIL. She's probably making $1 million, maybe more, from NIL. You go pro, you know what your salary is the first year in the WNBA? It maxes out at about $74,000. It's not any higher than that. Now, you don't have to give up all of your endorsements because you're leaving college, but maybe some of them attached to Iowa might not work for you anymore. So there is some financial, you have to figure it out. She's also doing national commercials like State Farm. That's going to stay with her. You don't have to worry about that. Because the WNBA is going to put every game of hers on television, and somebody like ESPN is going to broadcast it. Because you're not stupid. Until she proves that she can't draw a crowd, you're going to put her on television. So that's going to give her the opportunity to make the same or more money, at least in the first year. So Matt says, where do you think we should put this? I think we should put it first. And I said, I do too. Yeah, let's put it first. So we have to trim a story. And the other two stories are about Yamamoto's debut with the Dodgers and the sort of, you know, spine and structure of the 14-team college football playoff.
Right.
And Matt says, you know, Brian's answer was so good that we really don't have to do that. And I said, you're right. We don't. We can keep the other two stories, which are off the beaten path and so consequently more interesting. You know, I mean, Mike would not have done those stories. He would have asked for LeBron and then another LeBron story. I mean, that's Mike's interest is different than mine and then Pablo's. And that's how we solved that. And then we pretty much went on the air with, I don't know, 45 seconds of taking notes and trying to figure it out and then taping the show. So that's another thing behind the scenes. I thought people would like to mention that. In sports news today, in Jeddah, in Saudi Arabia, and I have no idea if that, what the times difference is between us and them, if they're ahead or behind. I have
about
no
8 hours ahead.
8 hours ahead. So 8 hours ahead means it's already happened. Anthony Kim has played his first professional golf competitive round in something like 11 years.
12 years.
12 years. Michael, you are the same age as Anthony Kim?
He is a little bit older. He seems to have, a young daughter. But yes, I would say same life stages.
Right.
And he is currently almost as many shots back from first place as years away from professional golf. So he finished with a +6.
Okay.
And he is trailing the leader, who is at 8 under. And John Rahm is at 8 under as well. Schwartzel's at 7.
DeChambeau's trailing by 14. He's out.
So he had some time to catch up. But look, Anthony Kim, for those who are not golfers, you had to be really into golf in the mid-aughts. He was bringing swagger. And
he was a rising star.
A
fair?
Confidence. Yes, a
rising
rocket
star.
Ship. A lot of comparisons to Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Did it his own way. He famously had that moment in an international match where he walks to the next tee, not realizing that he's already won. So he's become this Yeti figure where he had some injuries, and it appeared that he was getting more money to stay away from golf from
an insurance policy. Yeah.
Than he would have necessarily had from trying to regain status. And so over the years, there'd be all these grainy videos of him on a driving range or stories about him playing in money matches in all these golfing hotbeds. And then in the last year or two, he was one of those names that was thrown around as, you know, if not the savior of a live golf, just one of the big names, again, to attract a a non-traditional golfing.
That's a real leap of faith. I mean, nobody knows him for the last 12 years. I don't know that he's a savior of anything.
You have to be inside golf. But I think in terms of the week that they've had, this definitely pales in comparison to who's got the Gooch comments about the Masters and Rory with Taylor Gooch's sort of off the wall issues with it being an asterisk event. But it's interesting to see what he does as a wild card on LIV and to see if he gets some traction back. I'm not super worried about a six over round today, and in many ways it shows you the difficulty of professional golf, and it makes the return that much greater if he does start to play some good golf.
Yeah, I think people need to realize it's not just going out on your course or your friend's courses and shooting 66. It's different. Even on the Saudi Tour, it's different, and there's no cut there.
You got to put it out.
54 holes. Yeah, you as Tiger would say, you got to earn it in the dirt.
Now the video.
Go ahead.
The video of him early in the week where they're doing the launch of Anthony Kim, and he's wearing, you know, shorts and a T-shirt, and for a golf event being played in Saudi Arabia, they're doing promos of him with his wife and his little girl sort of running in between them, and he has a shirt that says Girl Dad. So it's a complicated relationship, as you likely accept some fee money that is making up for the lost money along the way.
Yeah, because he's now playing professional golf.
Yeah.
So the insurance policy is canceled automatically. And I think it was like $2 to $3 million a year that he was getting, something like that. That means that the Saudi Tour ponied up more than that, right, Michael? They had to, or he wouldn't have done it.
Sure, but also as a wild card, he at least gets this year to sort of play with without the burden of relegation. So he's also able to pick up the money along the way. And, you know, if you could have a couple of top finishes, those are pretty big purses. So, yes, there's other ways to supplement the lost insurance money.
My question to you that I'd written down was, is he going to be, after the first round, will he be closer to Tiger or closer to Charlie? You know, because I didn't know. I mean, I think it's hard. Sure. I think it's hard to walk out there in a real event. Even if that's not as real as a PGA Tour event, it's a real event. Because the guys that you're playing with, they're better than the guys you've been playing with. Right, Michael? I mean, that's a difference. They're pros.
Yeah, again, this just comes to it. There's a practice to playing tournament golf, and you really can't replicate it even with all the money games or the practice rounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's how many of these numbers next to your name begins to affect that confidence that you had, and you're drawing on a reserve of confidence that's over a decade old. And again, you come back to Life Station. So if you think about, you know, when Phil finally broke through to win the major, it was when he was making that transition to being a dad in his mid-30s, and Kim is past that point. I mean, you bring up the Woods comparison. This is sort of tricky because Tiger can't complete a tournament, cut or no cut.
Can't.
And, you know, Charlie's a kid, but, you know, he's
out there. He's 16 years old.
Yeah.
You know, by the time he's 19, this thing that happened a couple of weeks ago is going to be way in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be, I'm not saying he's going to be a great pro or even a pro, but he's going to be a great player, right? There's no question about that. No question whatsoever. All right, thank you. I was hoping you could talk about that. We will take a break, and we will bring in Bob Ryan, the quintessential American sports writer, to talk about a story that he has written about all the things he has covered in all the states of the union. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Tyler Hartung in Denver, who writes, I've received the express written consent via text from my childhood friend Jacob Sloan and his band Coast Red to play two of their newest singles, Wasted Days and Swim, which can both be found on Spotify and Apple Music. The album will be out soon. Enjoy the California surf vibes. This is called Swim, and again, it's Coast Red. We'll play another song later, and you can listen at the end of the show and not have me babble in it. And it plays in Bob Ryan, the quintessential American sports writer, who has, and I'm flying blind on this, because all I have been told is that you have written a large piece for the Boston Globe detailing the fact that you have covered sporting events, legitimate sporting events, in all 50 states. Do I have the spine of that correct?
The spine, a slight alteration, covered or attended.
Okay.
I have been to, because it started when I was in the womb, for God's sake, and I have been to or covered a sporting event, legitimate sporting event, in each of the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico as
okay.
well.
Okay. So Alaska and Hawaii are in this for you.
They're yes. Oh, yeah.
I would imagine it. So I think back, Wilbon has been to 49 of the 50. Not to necessarily cover things, but 49 of the 50 states. The one he is missing is Maine. I, too, am missing Maine. I'm missing North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and Idaho. And I'm trying to think what you would have covered in some of these states. Now, all of the states have colleges, so maybe it's a college basketball tournament or a college football game or something like that. Maine is close to you, but North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, what do you got for me there?
I'll start with Maine is obvious because it is close, and Maine included college basketball and NBA exhibition and minor league baseball. Plenty of opportunities for things in Maine. From it's literally an hour, and I probably am from the border from my house. I'm probably less than about an hour and a half.
Okay.
So that's all. Okay, Idaho. Idaho was minor league baseball when I was writing a book on minor league baseball in 1972, and college football. I have been to the famous Blue Turf at Boise State.
Boise State. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Wyoming. This is where the thing gets. You know, I get lucky, and it's just because the life. I went to an NBA exhibition game in 1986 in Laramie, and that's Idaho. I mean, that's Wyoming. That's my one and only Wyoming. It's totally legit. And what else? Oh, we have North Dakota.
The Dakotas.
I was in television for Channel 5 in Boston in 1983, and I covered Harvard in the NCAA hockey finals at Grand Forks, North Dakota, at the University of North Dakota. They didn't call it the Frozen Four yet. That came later. Eddie Carpenter, the SID at BU, named it Frozen Four later, but it was the hockey finals, legitimate NCAA final. Harvard lost in that game, whatever state you want. South Dakota.
South Dakota.
That was number 50, and that's where the story starts and ends. In other words, I became aware after I hit number 49, which was Alaska, that wow, this is not a lifelong quest. This is just organically happening in my life. And after I hit Alaska with number 49, I said, wow, I've done 49. It would be cool to do 50. And the 50th one hanging out there was South Dakota. And last fall, I went to my sports editor, the sports editor of the Globe, Matt Pepin, and I explained that I've been to 49 states with events. If I got 50, would you be interested in the story? He said, yeah. So 50 was South Dakota. Now, you've got three basic options, Tony, in South Dakota. You've
football.
Got the two universities of note, North Dakota and South Dakota State, football, basketball, and you've got the Sioux Falls Canaries of the American Association Independent Baseball League. And I thought that would have been cool. But I'm a basketball guy, you know that. And I said, I got to see the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State take the floor. And that's what I did. February 1st, I was present in Frost Arena at South Dakota State University to see them play the North Dakota State Bison. And I caught a terrific college game, which was a great ribbon on the package for me.
Yeah, the Jackrabbits have been in the NCAAs in the last few years, so we're all aware of them. I got other states for you. Montana.
This was the one and only. 1978, Don Zimmer was managing the Boston Red Sox.
Right.
His son, Tom, was managing in Montana, in Boise, in the Independent League.
Well, Boise's in Idaho.
Great Falls.
Okay.
So I went, and on my way to the baseball All-Star game in San Diego, I stopped off in Montana to
Everybody
do the story on Tommy Zimmer.
Everybody does that.
So a minor league baseball game.
All right. So I got two more states where they're sort of off the beaten path. You have to want to get there. There is opportunity in Arkansas and New Mexico, but you have to want to get there. I'm assuming that your New Mexico one was Jimmy Valvano winning the NCAAs.
No, it was not. New Mexico one, there's two things in New Mexico. One was in 1970, I mentioned previously the book that I read. My first book was on minor league baseball called Wait Till I Make the Show. And among the places I went to write the material for this, which I went literally from Trois-Rivières, Quebec to Honolulu, Albuquerque, the Albuquerque Dukes of the Pacific Coast League, managed by Tom Lasorda before he became Tom Lasorda, if you know what I mean.
Right, right.
And are you ready for this? Best minor league team in the last 60 years. Here's the lineup. Joe Ferguson at catcher, Tom Pachorik at first, Davey Lopes at second, Steve Hunts at short, Ron Say at third, Larry Heisel in left, Von Joshua in center, and Paul Ray Powell in right. And the rotation included Jeff Son, Doug Rao, and Charlie Huff.
Wow.
How'd they ever lose a game?
Wow.
Well, they didn't lose many, I'll tell you that. And so I saw them play at home. I saw them against Salt Lake City. They didn't have a guy named Rivers, a left-handed hitting center fielder. I don't know whatever happened to him. But
played for
anyway,
the Yankees for a while.
That's my first New Mexico. And the second was an NCAA NCAA tournament in Albuquerque. That took care of New Mexico.
I got another one, Arkansas.
Well, this is interesting. My Arkansas, I was at the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and I was heading to do something else from there in Texas, and I drove. I said, I'm going to go to see the Razorbacks, and I went to Fayetteville, and I saw a home game at Bud Walton Arena. And I'm telling you, folks, if you are a college basketball fan, and you want to put this on your I don't like that B word on your right. I got to do this list. It's a great atmosphere, and it's the best band usage I have ever heard in any college arena. The band, at least when I went, they used that band better than any college I've ever heard. But that was my trip to Fayetteville.
Your big sports, of course, are baseball and basketball. I'm sure there's baseball, basketball, and football in this. And there's hockey, obviously, because you talked about that.
Hockey.
Are there another? Would you list, for example, I went to Darlington, South Carolina, and I watched an auto race. I mean, are there things off the board?
I have been to two Daytonas and two Daytonas and a couple of Loudons in New Hampshire. I have NASCAR. And the reason I went to Daytona, Tony, is that in the good old days of the Sports Reporter show, they sent us down to do the show from Daytona twice. And so that's how I got to Daytona. And then while I was there, I couldn't tell the Boston Globe I don't want to cover the race.
So
I covered the race, even though I know zippo about NASCAR. And to me, I don't care about you. To me, if you love NASCAR, it's because you love cars. And to me, a car is nothing more than a large portable radio. So I'm not into NASCAR. But I did. I had to go to Loudon, New Hampshire, twice in duty.
You did not write about all of these events, I take it.
No,
you wrote about most of them.
I wrote a text that, not all of them, of course not. What I did focus on, Tony, was in the text of the story, it comes to explaining how it came about and my roots and how I was born into a sports family and all that stuff, that the two, I call them avocation sports. Business, all the, in the course of our business, you meet Tony, but, we have to go to certain things, obvious big events, it's obvious. But I would go out of my way for two other things on my own as much as possible. These were my foundation sports, sports I grew up with. And so that the two sports that have the I've seen the most states are college basketball, 38, and minor league baseball, 31. And so I would go out of my way to go to college basketball and college. I've been to 205 venues to see college basketball. And just and so the one in Brookings, South Dakota, was number 205.
How many Olympics have you gone to? Have you gone 11, to many Olympics?
Six summer, five winter. So that's a separate story, naturally, the international. And and Canada. I've been to four Canadian provinces for games. And so that's another one, but that's another story for that.
Okay.
There are opportunities for people to read online, particularly the wonderful usage of the technology that they have.
You're out with this, right? People can read this. They can read it the Globe.
It's on bostonglobe.com right now. And then Sunday it'll be in the actual print newspaper.
Okay. So all of this leads us, all of the places you've been to, all of the places that I've been to, and they're not close to yours, but all of the places that any sports writer has been to, leads to this, which is the all-time top five. The all-time top five events in your life that you say, I was at that. I write these lists out all the time. I'm just going to tell you what I got. And then, because I'm asking you to do this cold, and unless you've thought about this a lot, I'll read mine first, and then you can have yours.
Yeah.
Okay?
Go ahead.
I got Flutie. I got Flutie. I got Leitner because I sat next to you. So I got Leitner. I got Carl Lewis and Ben Johnson. I got the Earthquake, okay? And I got Reggie's three. Those are my five. I've left out a bunch, including Willis Reed.
Oh, sure.
Bill Buckner. I've left them out.
Wow.
Those are my top five. Do you have a top five?
Well, it so happens that they asked me to do just that, and I did it. I phrased it, five games I'd like to relive. I wouldn't mind reliving, okay? Five events I wouldn't mind reliving. And there's photo evidence of it in the story online and everything. Okay. Number one was Game 7 of the Boston Celtics and 76ers in 1981, the comeback from 1-3, and it was the Sunday game final, and it was the most emotional game of all the hundreds of times I've been to the Garden, or over thousands, my God, since 1964. That was the most emotional building I've ever known, that game. I want that game back. Okay, that's one. BC 41, Notre Dame 39, I said, come on now, I'm an alum. That meant a lot. And here's the truth in that one. BC has blown a 21-point lead, and now Notre Dame, and they're going to, and they're sending out David Gordon to kick a field goal. David Gordon had blown a 24-yard field goal earlier in the year against Northwestern. He was a very shaky kicker. And there's only two things that can happen. It's blocked or it's no good. Well, it took a left-hand turn on the way in somehow, and it went in, and they beat Notre Dame. And I'm standing in the press box. I'll gather my stuff. I'm ready to go downstairs. I'm going to write the story about Shake Down the Thunder, Notre Dame, can't beat them, blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, bleep, starts with an S, ends with a T. They won. And I had a new story to write. Okay, there's that.
Then, we've all been there. We've all been there.
Game four, excuse me, the 0-4 Red Sox-Yankees, the famous comeback.
Yeah.
You know, they're down 0-3. They got beat 19-8 in the set game before. And David, you know, ninth inning, and Rivera, you know what happens. Millar works the walk, and Dave Robinson makes a steal of the century, and Bill Miller drives him in, and it starts to come back. They went from 19-8 loss on Saturday night. 11 nights later, they're sipping the champagne. But that electrifying building, Then I've got hockey. I wanted to touch hockey. 2011, Game 7 of the Bruins and Tampa Bay Lightning was a 1-0 game on a goal by Nathan Horton, in which there were no penalties in the game. 60 minutes of up and down, up and down. And Guy Boucher, the coach of the Lightning, said that was like 60 minutes of overtime. And now I'm trying to think. I'm like, look, in front of me, what did I put for the fifth one? I forget. I got a fifth one. So it'll come to me, of course, after we hang up.
Yeah, yours are a little bit more parochial because they have to do with teams that you were involved with.
Yeah, and right. I mean, this is the way I could have done. I could have done it in a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
obviously,
I've been
to some of the major big events.
Sure.
And when, by the way, if you were to ask me what's your favorite five college basketball? Number one would be Duke, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Or 1A would be Villanova, Georgetown. That's a tough call for me.
Yeah.
The Villanova, Georgetown. I was there at that one, and that was, you have to,
me too.
People have to understand the whole context. How invincible Georgetown seemed at that moment.
Yeah.
You know,
now, the
invincible.
Other team shot 9 out of 10 in the second half.
That's right.
22 for 30,
22 for 30 in the game. And the last game played without a shot clock.
Yeah, no shot clock.
And you didn't feel like it, though.
No, it was great.
So that's my. Yeah, I'm trying to think what I put the fifth one. I don't have the paper, the story in front of me. So, anyway, there's some examples.
Okay. All right, so people should get bostonglobe.com and read the story, and we will talk soon. Thank you, Bobby. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot
for
having me,
John. Many more
Bye-bye.
Than I've got. Bob Ryan, boys and girls. We'll take a break. John Orand will join us when we return. I'm going to try and find out why companies, you know, pay money to get stadiums named after them, because I really don't get it. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Once again, this is Coast Red, the California surf band, not from California. This is called Wasted Days. Michael, if independent groups or individuals want to send us their music to play on this show, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com, and we have a big day today. Johnny O has just launched a new women's line, so use promo code TKT and check it out.
Yeah, that'll make women in your life happy.
Yes.
Or if there are no women in your life, and I'm talking to women now directly, it'll make you happy. buy it. Okay. So the song plays in John Orand, for many, many years, was involved with Sports Business Journal and is now in something called Puck.com, which ambitiously covers Hollywood and Silicon Valley and Washington and things like that, you know, the epicenter of business and innovation in the country. I had read a story, John, maybe yesterday or the day before, that the FedEx company had bailed out of the last 2 years of their deal with the Washington football team. I don't really care about the details of it or if there's any acrimony. I doubt there's any acrimony. But I wonder about this. I mean, we all know Yankee Stadium. We all know Fenway Park. You know, we all know those names. But when companies buy into this, is there a sense of what it generally costs and how long these deals are? And does anybody get anything worthwhile out of it?
Well, you know, you mentioned Yankee Stadium. You mentioned Fenway Park. I think you can also throw a Dodger Stadium and Camden Yards in there. Those are
Wrigley.
Those are baseball stadiums that, you know, no matter what sort of naming rights Camden Yards sells, and apparently they were close to a deal recently, it's always going to be Camden Yards to anybody in D.C. or Baltimore, I think, going up
right
there. The NFL is such a different animal, though. I mean, comparing the NFL to any other sport is, I've learned to stop doing that. So you look over in L.A., you know, they just built the SoFi Stadium over there. And SoFi's paying, what, I think it's like over more than $600 million for that, which makes a FedEx deal seem like pennies. The Super Bowl is just played in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. That was another deal that more than $600 million that Allegiant did that. For the general fan, it just looks like these big corporations that are taking a lot of money and just slapping their logo on a stadium, and maybe they'll get mentioned in the nightly news or in write-ups of games that happen there. But people that do these deals say that if that's all that somebody does, it's a waste of money. There has to be some sort of marketing plan and some way to get into the community from this. This has to be sort of step one of a multi-part sponsorship plan around that. FedEx stepped away. I pretty much guarantee you they're going to get somebody to come in for the next 2 years.
Are they worth $600 million?
I know. Are they worth it? I don't think so.
Can it be worth it? Can anything be worth it? I mean, is it just ego? Is it just ego? But or can you make money? Because you don't want to throw money at something if there's no return. The return seems so vague to me, John.
It feels like ego, but what kind of return do you get from marketing? And marketing does work. Or what kind of return do you get from your communications department in a company? And I think that's how they view this. This is marketing for a football stadium, for an NFL stadium. You have to pay to get into that. I mean, when FedEx did its deal way back when, I believe it was a 25-year deal, so it was 1999. It was $205 million, which was jaw dropping at the time. And now that, just like the prices of all the values of all the teams, it's gone up threefold just about.
So the interesting thing to me about the FedEx deal was Fred Smith was one of the co-owners. I mean, he didn't have as much money in it as Dan Snyder. But then I was sort of surprised they didn't give it to him for free because, he was part of the ownership group. I'm going to ask this question now because I didn't think of this at all. I wrote down in my notes, why would anybody want to do this for a football stadium? You get 9 games max. Why wouldn't you do it for a baseball stadium where you get 81? But you're suggesting to me that football is more bang for the buck than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, give it away for free, you'd make a terrible businessman, Tony. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think, again, the big problem, because they do sell naming rights to some baseball stadiums, but the ones that we mentioned are so iconic, are so ingrained that any kind of naming rights wouldn't really take hold. I mean, really, are you going to call it anything other than Dodger Stadium? And the idea is that it's much more than just, 9 home games or 10 home games. It's a whole year-long package. It's a national package. And when you think about, when you think about Allegiant Stadium and you think about, 125 million people watching a game from Allegiant Stadium.
Right,
you have
right.
That marketing, they're selling Super Bowl commercials for multiple $1 million. I think it was up to like $7 million per 30 this year. That's worth its weight in gold in terms of that. It's tough because there is no tangible, we get X out of this, but it is part of a marketing budget that every company does have that, marketers are always sort of pointing out, there's no, like I said, it's just not tangible. So it's kind of difficult to describe.
There are certain, if I see a bank sponsor something, that bothers me. If I had money in that bank, I'd take the money out because I think that that's not being responsible. If I'm watching a game and they from the Yum Center, I think this is absurd. I mean, the crypto arena, stop. Why are you doing this? It's like these idiotic bowl games, but it doesn't seem to stop, John. There seems to be a line out there of companies that want to have their names on an arena, right?
Look, I think when you described it as ego at first, I think that definitely plays a part. People want to see their name on a building that tens of thousands of fans go to. But there is a return. This is it's a big marketing expense, but there is it. If you develop a plan around it to get into the community and to use this for more than just putting a logo on a stadium and waiting, you know, every 15 years for the Super Bowl to come around, then that's a bad idea. But if you have an actual plan to get into the community and work that way, companies say it works well, but they rarely have actual hard data to go with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a combination of ego and aspiration. You know, when you say to yourself, you have the Dunkin' Donuts Center. At least I know what Dunkin' Donuts are. I mean, I don't know what Allegiant is. I had no idea what it was.
Would you stop going to Dunkin' Donuts if they put their name on the center?
No, I would probably go more, because what is that great line? I'm the mayor of Dunkin'. You know, it's Casey Affleck. I'm the mayor of Dunkin'. I'm going to just grab you for a couple more minutes, if you can. I know you get asked about this a lot. Can you briefly explain what in God's name is going on with all of these television channels and baseball, and how that's going to end up? If people go bankrupt, I assume Major League Baseball will have to get into the television business.
Wait, did you say just for a couple of minutes? This might take a while.
Oh, yeah.
So here's what's happening with sports TV, and specifically baseball. We're seeing it happen with the regional sports networks first. So in D.C. with Masson and Monumental a little bit, but across the country, the Valley Sports Network. In entertainment programming, everybody's gone to streaming already. I mean, so if you want to watch an entertainment programming, you binge it on Netflix or Apple TV Plus or Amazon Prime. Sports, because it's been live and news, stayed within the cable bundle, but it's now starting to leak out. And so and part of the reason it's leaking out is all the people that were big entertainment fans, they left the cable bundle. And so now it's just sports fans in the cable bundle. And so people like Bally Sports and Masson are making a lot less money because they have a lot less subscribers that are paying for cable. So as a result, they're starting to look around and go to streaming. Where that hits is they've done all the, you talk about bad deals. They've done these bad deals for Major League Baseball teams. So Bally Sports was paying the Texas Rangers $100 million a year for their rights. Their rights are probably worth less than half that in the real world. But they did the deal just to keep the Rangers in there. They can't afford those deals anymore because they're not making as much money from subscribers. So what has to happen is teams and leagues have to agree, okay, we'll take 15-20% less in terms of a rights fee. And you've covered sports long enough, obviously, that you know teams and leagues do not want to do that. So they'd rather see Bally's and Diamond go bankrupt, which they are in bankruptcy, but they'd rather see them go belly up than to actually pay less for that. So
they'll ship it to China if they can. They'll ship it anywhere to get money. They will.
That's where we are right now. So they have to figure out, like, do we want to take, the leagues and teams have to figure out, do we want to take 20-30% less than we were, or do we want to take zero because we just don't want to give a deal like that to those guys? And in baseball, it looks like they're saying, we want to take zero and we'll figure it out on our own.
That's what I think is going to happen. Wilbon says to me all the time, you have to get streaming. You have to be on streaming. I said, don't we make money because we're on cable? And he says, we're done. We're done. Nobody wants us. Get out.
Sure, I just cut the cord a week ago, so I'm totally with Wilbon.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Tony.
John Oren, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll come back with email and jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay. The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag, got your email, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag, gonna read some for all you folks. Hey, Tony! Come on, come on! Hey, Tony! Read that mail now, baby.
I love that. I can't tell you how much I love that. I sing along with it silently. It does. I love it so much.
It's great.
Do you want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop one in, my friend, and you will be thrilled.
That's going to do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me just say, Deputy Sheriff said to me, tell me what you come here for, boy. You better get your bags and flee. You're in trouble, boy. And now you're heading into more. It's the same old story. Everywhere I go, I get slandered, libeled. I hear words I never heard in the Bible. I'm just trying to keep the customer satisfied. That's Paul Simon and Arthur Garfunkel from a long time ago. Thanks to our guests today, Bob Ryan and John Orion. Thanks as well to today's sponsors. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple, please leave us a review. I didn't get to this the other day. This was Luke sent us an email.
Yes.
I have to get to this.
Celebrity intern.
Last Tuesday in Baltimore, a better spot for an arena than The Landing, by the way, and definitely easier to get to. I went and saw America's Best Contemporary Songwriter, Jason Isbell. Is that how it's pronounced? Isbell? I'm unfamiliar with his oeuvre.
Not overly familiar
Jason
with him.
Jason Isbell.
No.
Michael, do you know
yes.
him?
Yes. Yep.
Isbell, play a wonderful two-hour set. While the show was superb, it didn't compare to emerging from the men's room to a spirited lechizerie from a poor guy who was 300th in line. He didn't leave as soon as the house lights came on, as I do, to hit the bathroom. Anyway, the lovely Matt Reese shook my recently washed and sanitized hand a great little. So that's from Luke.
That is lovely.
Makes me happy. Here's one from Glenn and Alan, who are Norwegian Soft Kitten, and Chuck and Roxy, number 295.
Wow.
Are they making up these numbers? We were thinking we would be releasing the song Things We Learned from TV on our next album, but Glenn so completely flushed the mouse with the guitar licks that we will now be burying the song deep in the album. Flush the mouse. It's just so great.
It works for everything.
It's so great. From our friend Joe Pearson in Indianapolis, who writes, who's no Patrick Sitter, but if you read this on the show, it gets me to 31. He counts his emails. While She's Not There was the first top 10 hit for the Zombies in 1964 and also a top 40 hit for Santana in 1977. Excuse me. I think you'll find that Time of the Season is their most popular song overall, it being the Zombies' only gold certified 1 million copies sold. Oddly enough, it was released in 1968 after the Zombies broke up when founder Rod Argent went off to create his own eponymously named band Argent, who had their own top 10 hit with Hold Your Head Up, absolutely, in 1972. Yes, I'm a music nerd and needs to get a life. When I saw them, I noticed that Rod Argent had unbelievable guns. I mean,
really?
Huge arms, huge. And he wore shirts to accentuate how big his biceps
like
were.
Ed Hockley?
Like,
back in the
yes.
day.
Like, really? Wow. From Darren Herbert, long time, fourth time, but no Chuck or Roxy, from Yorkshire in England. Yummy, Yummy, Yummy by Ohio Express. God awful. Last time I heard it was 32 years ago. It still angers me. If this has already been nominated, and darn well should have been. Apologies. I'm 25 shows behind, but catching up fast. All the best, guys. Fonz you all.
From Todd Lohman. Need a lesson on the pudding.
From Todd Lohman in Littleton, Colorado. I loved your discussion with Ryan McGee, not because I'm a NASCAR fan, but because it's almost always interesting to hear an expert talk passionately about their area of expertise. Ryan obviously loves the sport, and that elevated your conversation. Your question to him about what it is that makes NASCAR drivers different brought to mind an anecdote I heard years ago. Scientists tried to test characteristics of elite athletes, so they asked a sampling of these athletes to look at a record player and read the information on the label. The athletes who were best at it were baseball players and NASCAR drivers. The idea of this test is both amusing and still what you'd expect, as those are two sports that would require extraordinary reaction times. I thought, as a guy who remembers record labels, you might find this interesting. From Ben Sandler in Columbia, Maryland. My favorite Grammy Awards moment goes back to Paul Simon's acceptance speech in 1976 for Still Crazy, winning Album of the Year. It followed Stevie Wonder winning 2 years in a row with fulfilling this first finale and Inner Visions. After first thanking his producer and then Phoebe Snow and Art Garfunkel for singing on the album with him, he concluded his thank you with this. And most of all, I'd like to thank Stevie Wonder, who didn't make an album this year. As brilliant as some of his lyrics. Thanks for all the years of entertainment. Been a loyal little before you named us that. I go all the way back to your post columns in WTEM days. From Paul Quinn in West Lothian in Scotland. I have to applaud your attempt to get a big box of that from McConnell's ice cream. Pity you were on the deuce and no one would have seen the plug. Yeah, but Bonnie's at work at it. Bonnie's at work. From David Johansson, a San Franciscan, not a Franciscan. They're the ones who lived in the missions. I was surprised and very pleased when I heard you read a letter on Wednesday's show from a resident of Port Unami and pronounce it correctly. Now, I probably didn't pronounce it correctly then because the letter writer, the emailer, told me how to pronounce it.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. Even most Californians can't get that right. And don't get me started on those who tell people they're from Cali. It's become as prevalent and as irritating as four steps. Nope, no traveling call in the NBA. I volunteer to serve as the official geographer of the Tony Kornheiser Show if the position is not already taken. Thanks for knowing your place and names. From David Epstein in New York. Knowing your love of classic music, I submit the following. In the sport of lacrosse, when one team gains possession of the ball in their end, they have 20 seconds to advance it over the midfield line. Otherwise, it's a turnover. The term for the other team that is trying to prevent them from advancing is called the ride, and it's essential to the part of defense. Why do I mention this? Because the Loyola Greyhound men's lacrosse team has a starting player who is named, and this is not his nickname, Mustang Sally. And so when I learned this, all I can think is that during the game, people of a certain age have to yell and ride, Sally, ride. Thought you'd get a kick out of that. That's wonderful.
That is brilliant.
From James in Ostrander, Ohio. You do know there's a Delaware, Ohio. It's where President Rutherford B. Hayes was born. You voted for him, remember? There's currently a BP station with a plaque where the house he was born in used to be. From Ashley Porter, the principal of Morganton Road Elementary School in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Stop me if you've heard this one before. A young up-and-coming female magician cannot seem to make traction in her small town, so she takes the dream of wowing audiences with her sleight of hand to the Big Apple. Once she arrives in Gotham, she beats the streets, going from club to club, attempting to make connections, until one afternoon when rushing to the next appointment, she literally bumps into a sanitation worker. As he picks her up from the ground, Kismet intervenes and their eyes meet. Will this unlikely pair find their way to a wedding aisle with a gazebo at the end of it? Find out with the Hallmark Channel premiere of Hocus Pocus Junk. From Ed Butt. I finally got to listen to Dominic Melillo's homage to the Beach Boys, Six Summers. Love it. As soon as I can get my grandson to somehow get it from my Google machine to my iPhone, I'm going to add it to my Sun, Surf, and Speed playlist. I'm with you. Whether we were on the beaches of Long Island or the beaches of Lake Michigan, we all dreamed that they were the beaches of Southern California. B.S., the first time you made fun of my name, it was thanking me for this 2013 50th anniversary holiday card on our Lake Michigan beach. See? And it's the Beach Boys from Surfer Girl.
Yeah.
The original Beach Boys with David Marks, not David Johnson. Right?
It's going back.
It's not David Johnson. Bruce Johnson.
Bruce Johnson.
Yeah,
yes.
David Marks was one of their high school friends. From Judy Nesson. Hey, I followed you in print and radio TV for many years. Just want to say how cool it is you give airplay to so many unsigned independent musicians who often struggle to be heard. P.S., I'm a neighbor and fan of Midlife's Crisis. That's Scott Parker.
Oh, yeah,
who
Scott.
You featured several times. Thanks for all the entertainment. From Sean in Queenstown, Maryland. Here we go. The email about Ava's Monday buy one, get one free offer seemed to pique some interest last week, so I looked into the fine print a little more. The good news is that it looks like the offer is every Monday starting at 4 p.m. It's also for dine-in or carry-out, so that means they have a 50-50 chance of getting at least half your order correct. The bad news is that carry-out orders are limited to 2 pizzas per order, and you have to order online. They will not accept a carry-out order over the phone, which makes them sort of the Nautica of pizza. That's a good line. I also realize that this information may have killed a good post-football mid-NBA season show opening rant. For that, I apologize. I talked about this.
Yes.
You have my opinion on this. Not going back on that
opinion. Yeah, stated.
But your bigger issue is with Nigel's order, correct?
Yes, he orders a pizza and then doesn't get the second pizza. He says, well, I didn't want the second pizza.
Didn't need to eat
well,
it.
I would have eaten the second pizza. It's just because pizzas aren't Casa de Leo doesn't mean they're not good enough.
Right.
I was incensed by this. I told Michael, I didn't tell you, because it was craziness. From Trace or Tracy Hendrick.
Apologies.
In Saginaw, Michigan. While it was awesome to hear you talk about the Niagara Ice Dogs and the Ontario Hockey League, the team you should be hitching your wagon to is the Saginaw Spirit. Not only are we currently the number 2 team in the entire league, but we also beat out the Ice Dogs, who currently have the worst record in the league, for the right to be the first ever American OHL host of the Memorial Cup this year, which is the Super Bowl of junior hockey. Oh, and if you're looking for some connective tissue from Aloy Little, the 10-year-old daughter related to me by birth is going to be on air this Friday as the Junior Spirit radio broadcaster, and Saginaw's starting goalie, Andrew Oakey, lives with our family. I'm sure the play-by-play broadcaster is a good guy, but the Ice Dogs can eat it. From Jay Eason in Rogers, Arkansas. Dan Byrne live. Flipping through the internet the other day, saw that Dan Byrne was playing the next night in Fayetteville, Arkansas, about 30 minutes from where I live. Without delay, I ordered two tickets, not knowing anything about the venue, but really didn't care. Turns out it was at the School of Folk, which was a historic home repurposed to be a music school. The next night, the woman I'm related to by marriage and I took off excited for the adventure. We arrived at the time the doors opened, and there were only four people in line. Dan and the band played in what must have been the dining room, and all 40 chairs or so were located in what was the living room. It was a perfect setting, and we had seats in the second row. The show was terrific, and afterwards we were able to hang out with Dan and the band for a few minutes, get pictures and buy albums, posters, etc. Dan and the band were so welcoming and engaging. It was incredible. I was only aware of Dan because of your show, whereas most of the other people had read about him in the paper. Dan and I even did a La Cheeserie shout-out on video, which I will treasure forever. What a wonderful night. Thanks to you and the show for making us aware of Dan, as he is a wonderful talent, and one could tell he really loves what he does. What a great night. So here's the thing. Everybody who meets Dan Byrne comes back with a glowing report.
Yes.
Everybody.
Everyone.
Which means he is that nice, or he's the greatest actor in the history of the world. And I choose to believe he's that nice.
That's the former, hopefully.
I was driving through Oshawa on Tuesday, writes Paul Frampton. Not Peter Frampton.
From
Lindsay, Ontario, and episode 283. My God. When you read an email from the voice of the Ice Dogs, and he name-dropped the Oshawa, I hope I pronounced that correctly, maybe it's Oshawa Gents, or as you called it, Oshawa. I almost drove into a bridge on Highway 401 through Oshawa when I heard this David Aldridge moment. Oshawa is actually the home of General Motors Canada and is the sixth largest city in Ontario, but now, thanks to you, we're on the map. We'll do one more. Andrew Bracewell, also Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia. On Wednesday's podcast, you discussed the positive impacts Taylor Swift and Lindsey Vonn have had on football and golf by bringing more female fans to their respective sports. While Taylor and Lindsey may have brought fresh eyeballs to football and golf, athletes dating famous women hasn't always panned out so well for the sports they played. For instance, when famous highlight player Francisco Shiraka had a brief tryst with Louise Gluck, the influence of morose, nihilistic Gluck fans all but killed the sport. You can't even watch highlight on Peacock these days. Let's hope things fare better for the NFL. That's just very funny. If you're out on your bike tonight, as always, do wear white.
But I still need a bit of milk, full fat, which I've warmed in the microwave.
Yeah.